You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Louis J. Gomez.
Yo, what the fuck is up out there in Real Ass Podcast Land? That's what we're calling the YouTube live stream, Real Ass Podcast Land. I'm your host, Louis J. Gomez, Puerto Rican rattlesnake, real ass dude, Howard Stern of MMA Radio, hanging in studio. My good friend Zach Amico.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, buddy? International superstar.
I'm feeling great, man.
Newly appointed funny person. People, you've come out of your shell now. Last night, you had another great showing on Legion of Skanks. Nonstop, I am putting Zach Amico over. I want 90% of the credit for everything you do.
You can have 90% of the nothing it's gotten me so far.
No, it's happening.
You have 90% of the people on Reddit who like me.
Well, they all like you. More people like you than like me. That is a fact.
That's okay. Just because they know you better.
Okay. So, also in studio today, look, we haven't been having as many guests on as of late, and I booked this guy as a guest today. Just so happens to be Chris Scopo's out. Very funny comedian, returning guest, Greg Stone.
You. What happened to Scopo?
Scopo, he's got a gig, I think, down in like Jersey or something. I don't know. He's got to do something.
Oh, all right. I thought it was falling out.
Here's the thing. You know, I remember there's a great Patrice joke where he talks about how he like loves his chick, but he just would rather her get hit by a bus and have to break up with her. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about Scopo.
Yeah.
Like I instead of having to break up with Scopo, I would rather his car flip over six times on the Jersey Turnpike and have him die than have to deal with fucking Scopo. You're just like, you know how much happier I'm here that you're here instead of him right now?
Yeah, man. No one wants to be around Scopo.
He's a nightmare. Scopo's great. He pisses me off on this show. Whatever. I don't want to shit on Scopo because he's not here to defend himself. Yeah, and I don't want to do that. I'm not a guy who punches people when they're not there to defend themselves. So very happy to have you, Greg.
Sorry, I can't be at the funeral. I got to tape an episode of my show.
Scopo, dude, I'm going to send Deepu in my place. Can we get a little bit of, can I get a little hip hop music, Jer?
Nice, a register. All aboard. It's a train?
Is this the song that I wanted? Okay. Yeah, it is.
Oh, nice.
All right, turn it down a little bit, though. I like this. I heard this beat here earlier today, and I was way in. It's usually Eminem.
You have
the
hardest intro to a podcast I've ever heard in my life.
What
there's explosions. There's thunder.
Yeah.
There's people screaming. It's like, welcome to the fucking... a murder. There's just people being thrown into jails.
Yeah. We're just doing classic Latino radio.
Yeah,
it's all sound effects.
I feel like such a letdown.
A long time ago. Just give me a little less volume, shit.
Yeah, motherfuckers! Jared. Kill a dog!
Make it like a background beat, chair. There we go. That's nice. Somebody told me a long time ago, you have to take this thing seriously. Like, look, I know that like Rogan and Ari Shaffir don't have like intros for their podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they also they were established enough that it was, and it was. They also started their podcast at a time when I think it was like kind of cool to not have one.
Yeah,
I like to separate myself from the pack. I like to show people that I care. We put together a nice strong intro. We had my good friends over at SiriusXM help me with that.
That's nice. It's great.
It's
great.
It's professional. You want to be professional, okay?
I do everything the opposite. I like to just abandon my listeners. We get people on board with our podcast. Our intro song is 4 minutes, and it's just like a weird beat, like doot doot doot. And just, if you can sit through it, like you're fucking, that's the kind of crowd, that's the people we want listening.
You know, I realized,
monsters.
Do me a favor, Jared, turn this off. I thought it was going to get me pumped up because I really liked it. It's just annoying me. It's just annoying me and everybody listening, probably.
Sorry.
No, please. Listen, it's going to be a great show today. I'll tell you right now, I'm excited about today's show. We got a lot of stuff going on. Lots of stuff going on. You guys might recognize Greg Stone as the roommate from America's Got Talent for our good friend Gary Veeder, who was competing and unfortunately did not win America's Got Talent last night.
Love Gary.
So I want to talk to you about that experience today on today's show. Steve Renazzisi, in hot water, as they say.
What happened with this?
We're going to talk about it, dude. He's, you know... He has his own version of what happened on 9/11. I want to get some opinions on this. This is a little bit crazy. We talked about it last night on Legion, so we're not even going to explore the story as much as I kind of want to talk about how comedians are very quick to just fucking start throwing each other under the bus. Now, look, this isn't a... He didn't tell a joke, okay? Do you know anything about the story?
No.
All right. He has a story. He's told on a few podcasts, What the Fuck with Marc Maron, a couple other big ones. And he said that he was in Tower 2 during 9/11 and that he escaped narrowly and survived, right?
So, and then that's what... Like, that harrowing experience made him and his wife move to L.A., and him quit corporate America and want to become a comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a big, sexy story, right?
Okay.
And he told it, and then this is, I guess, what he told people in L.A. when he first moved there. And it was kind of a bullshit artist, I guess, because it never happened. He was working in Midtown at the time.
Yeah.
But he started getting famous.
Yeah.
So what happens is you start getting famous, and then people start wanting to...
Yes.
Dig shit up on you. It's like, now bloggers' jobs and news journalists' jobs have become like how much... You know, how much shit can we pull up on people and make it a sexy story? And look, dude, I'm not defending him. I have a weird thing because I automatically defend comics.
Yeah.
Like, I just have I don't know what it is, but anytime a comic does something wrong, I always want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And it's a really shitty thing. It's actually a really shitty story to say. People lost family members in that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that it didn't, it affected, here's the thing. The people that are getting offended being like, oh, dude, I lived in New York. You know, unless you really lost somebody, I mean, look, technically it affected Steve Ranazzisi as far as it affected you.
Yeah.
He lived here too. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just don't understand why comics, one of my buddies, Jonas Barnes, who's on Hammer Fisting with me, he's fucking going off on Facebook, like flipping out. He's like, wait, I'm hearing that people in the comedy community are actually backing Steve Ranazzisi after this lie admission. Who are you that are defending him? Out yourselves. And it's like, I didn't even come out and say I was defending him, but I was just kind of like, dude, why do you care?
Yeah.
I feel like comics that are doing it are just, you're piggybacking on the story the same way these bloggers are piggybacking on the story to get more clicks for you and get more people interested in your page. I mean, I don't know, man. More than anything else, I look at this guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And I see, I was like, ah, fuck, dude, he's probably a pathological liar. He's not a friend of mine. I hung out with him one time ever in my life. I'm not defending a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
He's probably a pathological liar. He probably has made up a lot of stories in his life. You know, he didn't... You know, when you tell a lie like that, it kind of gets... I get it. It gets ahead of you.
Yeah.
And at what point do you go, oh, dude, I fucking made that up.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just some fucking douchebag working on Wall Street, you want to look cool to your friends. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. But then when you're a guy that has fame and you're on a TV show, you weirdly end up having this bigger responsibility.
Yeah. Dude, how many times have you told a story where it's been like... Oh, I wasn't in... It's like, oh, that didn't exactly happen, but I was close enough. Like, he was in Midtown, okay? So I'm sure just to make the story easier, it's like, oh, I was there. Like, I know it sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah, look, dude, it's a little different. Like, I understand if you said it to your friends, dude. I mean, look, I remember I used
to... He might as well have been there, is what I'm saying.
When I was a child, I would tell stupid stories. This is very childish, right? I remember I told my friends that that I had like every WrestleMania on tape.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said WrestleMania.
God, classic.
I went up to WrestleMania like 8 or whatever. My buddy John Hickey, who was a wrestling fan, was like, "Dude, WrestleMania 8 has been happening for a month."
Yeah.
And then to catch myself in the lie, or like, I was like, "Dude, they don't even do it live."
Oh my.
So I started spreading rumors about.
Yeah, man.
I was like, "Dude, that's another fake aspect of this sport, guys."
But also, man, yeah, man, people fuck up, though, man. You know, like, you told a fucking story. You told a lie. We have to hate this guy now? You told one lie? I mean, I met him once. He was really nice to me. So I have, like, all right, so you fucked up. You apologized. Whatever, man. What changes?
I don't want to take money away from this guy's family, which is what I feel like these people want to do.
Yeah.
Is take the food out of his kids' mouths. I mean, this guy's going to lose his endorsement deal.
If you want to target Zach's heartstrings, mention taking food out of somebody's mouth.
This guy's going to lose his spot. He was the face of Monday Night Football this year.
Yeah.
He's going to lose that, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. Look, dude, you know, overall, it's a very shitty thing to do. Yeah. And I don't want to come off like I'm defending that act. I'm just saying I know everybody at this table has done something shittier, more recent, and hurt somebody and genuinely, legitimately hurt somebody and affected their life more than this guy's story. And you know, Jonas was like, I guess the thing that he said, because I was like, dude, come on. Like, why do you even give a shit? And he was like, him being a pathological liar, he was like... He was like, what I'm mad about is people vouched for this guy and he got things because people vouched for him. And it's like, people aren't going to trust their words now.
Oh,
and I was like, you're really stretching.
That's such a lie, man.
If you want to find you could find little connections everywhere.
9/11 didn't get him on the league. They're like, we're going to put you on the league because you were 9/11. No, yeah. He was fucking funny. He had skills that backed it. This just makes me mad because, it's like people fuck up. People tell stories. I am a storyteller. A lot of times I'm telling stuff. Sometimes I'll just give it a little bit of a lecture. You juice it a little bit. Midtown.
You're lying right now. You're the most honest person I know.
Yeah, you goddamn. No, I'm, that's so much fucking bullshit.
Well, I know comics that it's so funny because it wasn't in his act. Here's the thing. It wasn't in a joke. So there's a separation.
Yeah.
I have a new joke that I'm doing right now. Right. Yeah. And the joke is basically talking about my mom teaching me how to drive. And my mom was very racist. She's pretty openly racist. And she was like, Haitians, the idea of the joke, whatever. Either way, there was Haitians and Jews where I grew up. And she told me reasons why I have to watch out when I'm driving. Anyway. So the joke is pretty harsh, but I've been doing it for a couple weeks now. I switched it to my grandma.
Yeah.
And you put that generational gap in between it.
Yeah.
It softens it up. And now it's killing because people are like, everyone's got a racist grandma. It's not honest. I very much struggled with the idea of changing the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, I want it to be honest. I want to have it be an honest bit. But then I hear about
that's not what the honesty is. The honesty is the message and it's the thing behind it to me is what I believe.
Right, it's a weird thing that I have. But I did it, So it's like, but I do have a weird thing with people being honest and kind of telling honest stories. This is like a very large fabricated lie.
Yeah, yeah. Can I give you a little, this happened to me. True, fucking, I went to Bern Community College.
You escaped Pearl Harbor.
I escaped Pearl Harbor. No, I was fucking, community college, I couldn't pay my bill. I ended up having surgery. All the bills got backed up. I ended up owing Bergen $3,000. I didn't have $3,000. The bill was only $600, but the interest went from $600 to $3,000 because I left it for 3 years and I didn't fucking touch it. I go back to Bergen and they wrote me this letter. They're like, if you just pay the $600, you can get that. You're fine.
Done.
And I'm like, fine. So I save up some fucking money. I go to pay the bill and the lady was like, no, you can't. That ended 3 days ago. And I was like, 3 days? 3 days? You're going to give me back to $3,000? You can get me back into school. This could change my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a teacher. I want to do this shit. And I'm like, please, but I'm going through this. I'm just trying to say anything. And I just go, when you say something and you say it and you immediately go, well, I just can't take that back now.
Yeah.
Now I have to own that lie.
For the rest of my life.
So I just was like, after 9/11, I just, things got hard. And as soon as I said 9/11, I was like, you fucking asshole. You motherfucker. And she looks and I was like, maybe she didn't catch it. Maybe she didn't catch it. And she just stops and she goes, oh my God, did you have friends and family there that day?
Ugh.
And so I looked at her in the face and I just said, that day we were all friends and family.
Oh, you stink.
And then she,
you're just actually a bad person now.
Stamps my thing, takes my money. I'm back in a fucking school. And I was just like, and then she looks at me and she goes, it says you dropped out June 2001, which was after 9/11. And I was like, yeah, I know. And I just kind of just said, I know. And I just walked away.
It's too late now, bitch.
But I felt like an asshole. But it was also like, sometimes you just say a thing. And it's like, well, now I got, maybe he just said a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Steve just was like, yeah, I was there. We were there. You were in the building. I was in the building. Nah, yeah,
you're really doing the same thing that I do. We give comics the benefit of the doubt. And that's what it is. And look, you can't hear it. Sucks. He apologized. But how much more? Look, I get it. If you're a fucking war hero, I even get it. Dude, if you are just a dude in life, and I'm giving up Reddit. Today is my last day ever going on Reddit.
Yeah.
Because I it really is just, there's too much negativity and it's too difficult to just block out all the negativity and look for the positivity.
Yeah.
So if I'm gonna get negativity, at least be a fucking person that follows me. I'm a friend on Facebook. You're a proven fan of mine.
Yeah.
I'd rather take negative criticism from people that enjoy what I do and not just assholes that are trying to take me down. So I don't think it's not really a productive thing for a performer to go on and just constantly read feedback from people that are, number one, anonymous. They don't have to have any responsibility for what they say.
Yeah.
And then number two, they're not fans of yours. They're not following you, or they're not trying to be engaged with you in any way. It's not like constructive criticism. I have plenty of fans of mine that go, dude, that thing sucked. That joke you did sucked. That wasn't funny. Louis really bombed tonight. Whatever it is, you can say that. If you're a fan of mine, obviously, fucking, I'm going to take the criticism, and it is what it is.
But they also think that by being mean, that's like they're like, I'm joking with him. I could be an asshole to him. It's like, no, man, that hurts.
Well, it's a little bit of a fine line.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a fine line. But on Reddit, there's none of that. They don't, you know, there's, like I said, I think Reddit's a great website. It's a really cool platform for people. But I think as a performer, you know, it's so much easier to let the negative criticism seep in. And in reality, it's like I wasn't using Reddit before a few months ago. Why am I letting people that aren't even fans of mine dictate decisions that I'm making?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, you know, if I have people that like what I do, people tweet, dude, that's fucking hilarious. Do more of that. That's the shit I should be listening
to. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know? But, yeah, I don't even know how we fucking got on Reddit.
No, I don't just think about people. It's about people fucking up. I don't know, but the Reddit, I don't know. I lost it too. I almost had it. I was grabbing for
it.
It
was,
rope slipped.
Listen, man. You know,
it's just. It's not like Steve did something malicious that hurt somebody.
Yeah.
He didn't like affect someone else's life in a negative way. He did something inconsiderate and shitty.
Yeah.
But he didn't do something malicious.
I agree.
Yeah, man. I fucking.
People aren't perfect, man. People aren't fucking perfect.
People make mistakes, and it just kind of sucks that, like...
I know it's not his story, but I still love listening to Jay Moore do that Tracy Morgan voice.
That's kind of what I was saying. It's about people. Like, you know, if you're a regular person, if you're a regular dude, you know, and you have a problem with this, you know, I get it a little bit more, but if you're a comic and you're just fucking posting this on social media, I think you're as bad as the bloggers that are looking through comedians' timelines and trying to get them in trouble for shit.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get clicks on your own shit, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's the way that that's what bugs me. You know, when Eliza Schlesinger threw Ari under the bus, it's like, yeah, what Ari did was kind of a shitty thing. You know, we all admitted it.
Did Ari, you call Ari?
Ari off, yeah, did
They're
she?
Cowards. Did you call
no,
Ari
not
and
at
talk
all.
To
Is
Ari?
She somebody who
can, fuck you.
Pretends to be his friend, you know, and then
it's bullshit.
You'll go out and write an article like that. You go like, I don't know, dude, like, we're fucking comics, dude. And what we do, you know, a lot of the time we're searching for something funny. If it's something funny,
yeah.
I give a comic a pass 100 out of, I give fucking Kramer a pass. I give anybody a pass that is in the middle of trying to be funny and just fucks up.
Yeah.
Cause we've all done that. We've all bombed and we've all had shitty instincts. We've all done, you know, on radio, especially, how many times you can go back and just play stupid shit I've said over and over again.
If you have a rewind button right now.
Man, I got to say that comedy is about trust, right?
Yeah.
You trust the performer, you know? So it's like, we all trust Amy Schumer. We love Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer's doing all these great things for women. We trust her. Then she slips up once. Everyone's like, Amy Schumer is against, she's not a real feminist. It's like, I thought you trusted her. You need to trust fucking people. Trust that I'm a good person. And even if I fuck up, you go, he just fucked up, but I know where he's coming from.
Look, here's the thing. Society has changed. I mean, even since I've started podcasting and doing stand-up, I mean, especially since I started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I've been doing stand-up for like 10 years or almost 11 years now. But definitely since I even started podcasting, it is a different world we live in. Faggot was not a word that I was even slightly afraid to post on social media or say on a podcast or on stage. I mean, that is just a word you cannot say anymore. No matter how much you fight it, you just can't really do it without getting a reaction out of people. Like, we do it on our podcast, but even then, it's not as gratuitous as we would do it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's not because we don't think it's funny. It's because we measure what's funny off of the reaction of the people that are listening and watching us.
Yeah.
And if people aren't laughing when you say faggot, why would you say it? It's not about getting a no-no word out. It's about being as funny as possible.
Yeah, agreed. I agree, man. But is that a good thing that's happening? Is that a good thing that words are allowed?
I think there are good things. You know, I was saying this to Dave Smith this morning. I think this is an interesting thing. Back in the day, when I first started comedy, I'm talking about like year one, we would go to the Comedy Cellar and we would hang out with all these comics, Big J, you know, fucking, I'm trying to think who was in at that time, like Vecchione, Metzger, like, you know, these guys that we looked up to. And a bunch of us, I don't even want to name names because I don't remember exactly which guys were what, but it was a bunch of us. It was like eight or nine of us. We would stand out in front of the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah.
Okay. And we would create a tunnel, like, you know, what do they call them, where there's people lined up on either side, like almost like two lines of people.
Red Rover?
Like a gauntlet.
Okay. Oh.
Like a gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
So what we would do, it was like a sexual harassment gauntlet. This is like 10 years ago, right? And girls would walk through this gauntlet. And it wasn't anything super crazy, but we would just do things like, yeah, girl, boy. But it was like 10 dudes.
Sure.
All of us doing it at the same time, dude. And we thought it was the funniest thing on earth. Most of the time, girls would just laugh and giggle. Sometimes girls would be like, ah, fuck you guys. Sometimes girls would fucking run and skimper off. And, you know, at the time, I never really thought about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But this PC culture bleeds into us so much, right?
Yeah.
That... You know, I think back now and I go, well, you know what, dude? What right do I have to fucking, like, if there's a chick who was gang raped,
yeah,
right? She didn't come into a comedy club. Yeah. She's not coming into my safe space. She's not clicking play on my podcast yeah. to hear my joke. She's walking down the street. What right do I have, for the sake of funny and entertaining me, my friends,
yeah.
to, you know, to put somebody through that, to even take the chance that it could be that girl?
Sure.
So that's maybe me. I don't know if it's society or me maturing.
But it's you on a personal. I see, the thing is, I believe that that's you on a personal decision to say, I'm not going to do this because this might hurt somebody. And I agree with that. But I also think that we're coming into a culture where we're saying no one should have defenses. Everyone should just not be offensive. And I think that's a problem, because when you take anyone's defenses down, animals are going to be animals. You know, it's like if you we the N-word and faggot are two words that we put.
But you wouldn't even say it there.
I mean, you know, I was
You're trying to open for Gary.
Yeah.
Trying to open for Gary on America's Got Talent.
Yeah,
tour.
But I mean, we put power into those words. They're fucking words. They shouldn't mean anything. Yeah. I told you, nigga is what I used to say growing up, because yeah. I grew up a block out of Newark, and we were all like, yo, this nigga
crazy.
A lot
of niggas around.
These niggas stupid. And that's my I was the only white kid. We all talk like that.
Yeah.
Y'all niggas stupid. I got to high school, met white friends. And they were like, you want to go bowling? I went, bowling? Y'all niggas crazy. And I was just like, kidding. And they were like, whoa, you can't say that word.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean I can't? I was like, that's the A version's different. You know, it was like a thing. Go back home. My friends, I was like, y'all dudes are silly or some shit. And they were like, dudes? All my friends were like, you say dude now? And they started calling me sir. They're like, sir, sorry, sir. Very well,
and
sir.
That's where you learned the word faggot.
And that's where I learned the word faggot. No, but the thing was that, like, we had put... This that word didn't mean it wasn't as bad, but then when you say that is bad, now everyone it builds a thing of like, now I am hurt.
We're not, here's the truth though, right? We're not going into a direction of, you know, we're gonna fight back and like we're gonna get in. No, we are going toward the direction of the words are gonna become, but I do think that we need to kind of hold on to, and that's why, you know,
yeah,
we do these shows that are, you know, we don't really hold back on these shows, or as much as possible we don't hold back. We don't have yeah. any busts or anything, but it's like we try to fight that a little bit. But I think stand-up comedy should I mean, it's so hacked to say the last bastion of free speech, but it should be the safest fucking space. If I owned a comedy club, and yeah. once I fail out of comedy I will, if I owned a comedy club, there would be a sign on the fucking door that said, if you get offended by anything, get the fuck out. This isn't the place for you.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a complaint about the content, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
That should be the policy for any comedy club. And unfortunately, dude, I mean, and look, the truth is the market will determine itself. People will tell you what's funny. And yeah. that's what's, like I said, we are naturally omitting the word faggot from our act unless it's really funny. You're not saying nigger in yeah. your act unless you have a fucking joke that is fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That is a crazy good joke. You're not going to throw out the N-word.
Yeah.
Right?
And usually it's deeper than just saying, it's 99% deeper than just saying the N-word.
Yeah.
It's about something. Sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, you're not.
I'm very passionate about this.
It just drives me crazy. Also, I want to say this. Let me address this really quick. Shelbo, how you doing over there, buddy?
Great.
Shelby, I'm leaving Reddit soon, okay? I need you to be the eyes and ears of Reddit from now on. Are you on Reddit?
I am not.
Yeah, you are. Don't lie. You have a secret profile. Don't lie.
I was checking it out for a while, but I haven't been on.
Did you have a secret profile at one time?
I was I believe they call it a lurker.
A lurker. So you never created a profile, you just looked.
Yes.
You have a lurkery vibe to you.
I like that.
He doesn't blink. It's really terrifying. Yeah. So
I have nice eyes. I'm blinking.
I was reading some of the YouTube comments last week, and they were not happy with the show, some of these people. There was like four or five people in the chat were fucking just like, fuck this
Very
show.
Very unhappy.
This show stinks. It's not funny, blah, blah, blah. Let me explain to you something about this show, okay? This is not Legion of Skanks. Legion of Skanks, what we do with that show, it's bang your head against the table, balls out laughter. We're getting drunk. We're getting stoned. We're doing, you know, what we do with no filters. We don't think about anything. We don't have a plan. Every once in a while, we do an event. But it is just us coming in and getting stupid and just trying to be as funny as possible.
Yeah.
Realize Podcast, we're trying to talk about shit. Okay, this is my version of kind of what Joe Rogan does, or what, you know, Mark Maron does when we interview a yeah. comic. It's like, and by the way, I'll say this, we have a funnier show than most of the top comedy podcasts. So you laugh out loud more at this show than you would at most of these shows that are considered the funniest fucking podcast, or the top 10 iTunes rated podcasts. Yeah. It's just, this is, I think people come from that world and they listen to Legion of Skanks or YKWD, which it's they know different. A lot of us from. It's just not that show. So if you're expecting that type of show, this isn't the show for you. We want to have a conversation. We bust balls and we tell jokes and shit, but you know, it's definitely
this
a little
is a learning bit, center. This is where we learn.
It's a little more focused,
yeah,
guys.
Man,
you
that's
know,
cool.
The intellectual side of Luis J. Gomez.
It's a very small side, guys. Listen, if you just listen enough, if you don't tune out, you will laugh at how stupid I am a ton.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unintentional comedy.
No, I hear you.
I don't. By the way, unintentional comedy. The other day, I posted about the Bennington football pool. I was like, how are the Seahawks doing? They had, I guess, lost in overtime like 20 minutes before. So anybody who knows football looked like I was being funny. Because
yeah,
I,
that's great.
It was unintentional. I had no idea what the Seahawks were doing. My stupidity, it nonstop laughs out of Luis J. Gomez. It doesn't stop coming, guys. Stone, you are on America's Got Talent with Gary.
Yeah, yeah. I did some videos with him. We just did some videos as like his roommate to go up.
Now, how much of this can we talk about now?
I have no idea. We could just talk about it. I don't want to talk about the stuttering kid. That's all I know I don't want to talk about.
You don't want to talk about him.
Oh, yeah, you're sick of that guy, too?
Well, because that's Gary's story, and I think that he'll tell that story.
No, 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 of course, yeah. I mean, we kind of touched on it last night a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's fine. We don't have... That's
I can
not,
say anything. I mean, I'm not really roommates with
no,
Gary.
No, you're just not... You're not even, let me just clarify. You're not saying you don't want to make fun of the stuttering kid. You just want to say kind of what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I know. I know what you're talking about. Okay. Yeah. So, look. You got... Gary called you. Here's the... Gary... Just got married. I was the best man at his wedding. Last week, we wrote the best man speech on the show. I used some of the lines, Zach. They did not go over as well in the room as I thought they were going to go. I got some big laughs. I had a Heidi Klum joke. I made a joke about, I was like, any woman would be lucky to have you, Gary.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe not Heidi Klum. Huge laugh. Boom. Louis, Louis. But yeah, that some of the lines we had, very over-the-top cheesy. You know, Zach, it wasn't as touching as we thought it was going to be.
I tried.
Cringeworthy, I'd say. So Gary was hiding this fact from the show. He was not telling the show that he was getting married.
Yeah, because he has jokes about being single, and he didn't want to use them. I think he also had a shitty roommate who was along the lines of what I was, and it's like, I don't want to use that guy. So he just used me. Because he was like, well, you'll be funnier, and
well,
it'll be whatever.
It's so
it makes
funny
sense.
Because it
same
was...
Same thing with lying.
And we're talking about this honesty and comedy.
I know.
And Azizi. It's like, Gary, I mean, literally, I'm saying, I don't want to say my grandma. I'm thinking, I'm going to say my mom. Gary's like, dude, fuck Gary. Forget honesty and comedy.
Yeah.
Forget the telling the truth.
Yeah.
Gary was like, I want to win.
Yeah.
Gary played the game.
But he also did the right thing, I think, towards comedy, was that he was doing almost sketches before his, where everyone else is doing like, I have cancer and my eyes hurt.
Yeah.
No, where Gary was like, we're going to do these funny videos. And to me, it's like, that was more important than the whole like story.
Good thing you guys didn't do
one
playing softball.
That was the kid. That's how the kid got a stutter.
Oh, really?
Greg wasn't
paying
attention.
I don't watch the show at all.
Oh, shit. I think I want to
smoke
pot.
Except the regurgitator. That guy was great.
Can I smoke pot?
The regurgitator's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's
and
really
he's the
great.
Coolest guy.
Shabbo,
coolest guy in the
Shabbo, can you do me a favor? Pull up a little bit. Wait, no, we can't probably. Can we play it on YouTube or can they bump us for that?
What do you need?
The regurgitator. I haven't seen any of his stuff.
It's not that great. You can watch it.
No, I'll watch it later.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch it.
I will tell you, though, with the Gary telling me this whole roommate thing. So we were pretending that we were roommates. Mel B from the Spice Girls comes up to us at the end. The cameras are off and she's talking to Gary and she's like, so you guys are roommates, right? Do you have a girlfriend? And Gary's like, yeah, I have a girl I'm dating. And she's like, what about you? And I'm like, yeah, I have this girl. And he's like, how long have you been together? And I'm like, 6-7 years. And she's like, why aren't you married? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, well, why don't you move in together at least? And
you're
I'm like,
you're a real piece of shit, you know?
Yeah, I live with my girlfriend for 6 years. And so
then Greg
now,
was like, listen, after 9/11, things got real hard.
Yeah. So I'm just like, so now I'm like, yeah, I have like, I'm like, I guess I have a hard time, you know, moving in with people. And she's like, well, you need to get your act together. And I'm like, now I'm into this. Now I'm telling Mel B this. I have commitment issues.
You're
all
getting,
because I can't tell Gary.
You got bad juju from a Spice Girl out there now.
Bad juju from a Spice Girl.
You don't
like,
want
to live with my girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, well, I didn't fucking let Eddie Murphy come in me and run away. So fuck you.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, Eddie Murphy is her kid's father. And he tried to not be.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. So you gotta tell me these things.
We know
these jokes. I'm like, I don't know what the
fuck
you're talking
about. Here's
the
thing about the Real Ass Podcast. Unknown thing. We are pop culture.
You're very savvy.
I would say
aficionados.
Experts.
Yeah,
aficionados.
Yeah.
Better word.
Oh, I gotta tell you this. Can I tell you the story, or do you want to wait?
No. I want to hear it. So let me ask you. Though.
You,
okay. So you went and Gary asked you to play this part. It's very funny, but it's very obviously acting.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anybody would watch that and go like, oh, I think that is a real thing.
Yeah. I mean, there's a camera in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, it's very funny, and it's these quirky sketches, and I think it's great, man. I think if Gary was showing people, he's like, look, if I had a TV show, this is what it could be like.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're going to get Gary on the show. I asked him to come in today with you. He was just like, dude, I just need a day break. Yeah. He's coming in. He wants to do the show. So we're going to get him in next week probably when I get back in town. But it was, you know, I almost feel like he might have been better off. Because, look, dude, Gary murdered it. He got into the top 10. I don't know what the rankings were at the very end, but... You know, getting that far without a crazy sob story, yeah, and just being a dude, you're telling jokes. It's such a hard thing to do on a show. Well, yeah. You're going up against fucking guys who are juggling fire and, yeah, and doing magic and all these big shows. You know, and Gary...
I'm trying to pronounce words. Sorry, I'm real bent out of shape about this. I'll take the heat on this one, Greg.
Dude, he fucking, you know, and then he didn't have this sexy story. I mean, like, if you can make up a story, why not just say you're dying of AIDS?
I know. I told him to cut himself like Hogan, like before the match, you know, as he walks out, just do his act bleeding, yeah, out of his eyes. And then people are like, he's like, he performed through the bleeding.
Yeah.
The dude fell off a ladder and got voted back.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. But I mean, look, Gary. By the way,
just think about that. Gary's horrible affliction was knowing Greg.
Yeah.
That was his really sad story.
That was his cancer. That was, yeah, his stutter.
Dude, I got to play that character, yeah, which pretty much is me.
I know.
But I went to the...
You've never looked fatter. You don't look that fat in real life. They really did like a downward from stomach to nose angle. Yeah. Holy shit, they made you look shitty.
Dude, they're like, just put your shirt up, Greg. Just pull your shirt up over your belly.
You are getting no pussy off this. Well, you got a girlfriend, so...
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but, you know. People, yeah, like bigger guys, I guess. Who the fuck does? Nobody. You know Zach, right? Come on.
There's some that...
There are, they like
yeah,
us.
Yeah, gross women. Let's get real, yeah, guys. Yeah.
There's a lot of dead dads out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I think Gary might have done it. He would have been better served had he just said, hey, dude, I'm a newlywed. Like in the middle of it, dude, if they went to his wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, dude, I mean, this like his family. I mean, what a story is that, dude? He's like, he plans his wedding, didn't even know he was going to get on the show.
Yeah.
You know, he's a dog walker. You know, him and his girl run this. I don't know. I feel like that's almost a better story for the show.
I don't know. I think because a lot of people have similar things of like, oh, I have my kids, we're just trying to do this for my family. I think Gary did well because it was the first time they had ever done something like that. They had never done anything like us where they're like just doing actual comedy videos, thanks, as opposed to like
it was interesting, man. So all right, so you got after the show, you got this is a big opportunity for you as well, being on network television, also showing your acting chops. The cool part for you, more than anything else, obviously, you know, it'll present opportunities. It's a credit. It's definitely a real credit. You acted on NBC.
I was actually going to ask people about that.
Oh, my God, dude. Does that count? You weren't your friend. You weren't hanging out with your buddy. Okay. If he had come and hung out with a bunch of friends,
yeah,
at a comedy club one night and like they showed me on camera and even gave my name, you can't use that as a credit. That just stinks. The people have to stretch. You acted on the show. I mean, over and over and over again. That will go in your reel. That is, I mean, that's a credit, dude. I mean, that it's almost more impressive than getting on a reality show as a performer because like almost hired,
yeah,
to do a job on NBC. I think that's a really, really big deal. I don't downplay that at all.
I appreciate it. I mean, I put in like 40 hours of fucking work. Like we were like going and calling shit.
Every
like
person with a real job just rolled their eyes like, yeah, dude, welcome to my weekly life, you
but
cunt.
But I also wasn't paid. Right. Like, it was 40 hours of me, like, canceling shows.
It means it's so much more than what they would have paid you. Whatever shit, yeah, job that our listeners have,
yeah,
do you know
how
much more valuable that is in terms of monetary value and what it'll equate to eventually than, you know, just getting paid the grand to go work for a week?
Yeah. I mean, I had fun. It was cool. It was super cool.
So you said what happened. You had a story. Something happened there.
You can sit in a bathrobe next to any headliner in America now.
Oh, you saw me in the bathrobe. I don't know if anyone saw me in the bathrobe.
I saw, yeah, yeah.
Because the thing was, for like the two results shows, all the taping was done. All I had to do was be in the crowd. And I was like, well, this character would not respect the show, right? So I'm going to show up in a bathrobe.
Yeah.
So I just showed up in the crowd in a bathrobe. And I was like, I'm going to just get high out of my head and enjoy this. Because the back is crazy. The back of backstage of America's Got Talent is like a fucking, you're tripping on acid. Like there's just people in dragon costumes. So fucking, it's like in the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, you know, where he's like in Hollywood and they're like, and he's like, just Godzilla and shit. That's what it's like. There's just hot women. And then there's just, dogs and shit. It's a guy with no shirt on and a gold vest. I'm fucking high out of my head.
Joey Ramone in drag. That's one of the judges.
I'm staring at these guys. And the first guy, Gary's like fighting with somebody. So I'm so high, I'm like, I get really fun. Like, I want to have a good time. I turn to this black guy next to me, and I was like, ah, man, you got so much it factor, it's crazy. And he was like, what? And I was like, you got all of it, bro. You got it. You got so much it pouring out of you, bro. I see talent on you. And he was like, I was like, what'd you do? What do you do? Tell me what you do. And he didn't even say rap. He said, like, I'm like a hip-hopper or something. He said something I'd never heard before. I was too high to
remember.
Aren't
they all, though?
And I was like, all right, man, bro, kill it, dude. Next thing I know, I see him on TV and he's rapping, and I was like, this guy sucks. And then I get text from my girlfriend and she's like, Flo Rida is there. And I was like, what? I had no idea. I just went up to Flo Rida and I was like, you got so much it, bro. So much fucking it. It's
but you,
crazy.
But you felt it from him, though.
No, I was just saying anything.
Okay, you didn't actually feel it.
I
okay.
just turned to a guy and just started talking because I was stoned. I was just saying, like, hey, this guy's got the it factor. Like, who gives a shit? I was just being stupid.
Yeah.
Last night, though.
Yeah, like it's like bowling.
Last night, I took an edible, and I was just out of my mind.
And you were there last night for the awards.
Yeah, this is backstage. The show's over, and like everybody is like taking pictures in front of the red carpet or whatever.
Was Gary bummed out at that point?
No, Gary was fine. He's like, he knows he got a career out of this.
Yeah, and he also, I think Gary understood that he probably wasn't going to win it.
He wasn't
going to
beat the kid with a disability. That's not, there's no way that was happening. I see fucking Lou Ferrigno. I'm like, the fucking Hulk. Fuck that. I'm talking to the Hulk. The fucking Hulk. So I walk up to the Hulk and I'm like, yo, Hulk. 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 Yo, Hulk. Hulk. Like, I'm high. I'm probably doing this for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Hulk. But then I remember, I'm like, Lou Ferrigno, deaf. You gotta grab him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, I was like, yo, man, I'm a fucking huge fan of your work. And he was like, thanks, man. I'm like, oh, I love you. I got pictures. I'm taking crazy pictures of him. I'm like, this guy is the best. I walk away. And who is it? One of the PAs was like, man, Chuck Zito could be your dad. And I was like, what? And you were like, yeah, you and Chuck Zito, you guys could be related. Yeah, it was Chuck Zito. I just called Chuck Zito the Hulk for probably 5 minutes. So I was going, no wonder he wasn't responding. It was not the Hulk. I was going, Hulk, Hulk. 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 Hulk.
Hey, this big fucking deaf moron won't answer me.
Yeah. Also, I love Chuck Zito.
Yeah.
So I would have like, I was so high that I would have been like, oh my God, I would have been just as happy to see him. Although I did walk back into the room and they
and
were
he
like,
he was just nice the whole time.
Nicest can be. The nicest guy in the
world. He's got to be now. He's got a real career. He's not a biker anymore.
No, yeah. He was like, I was kind of scared to tell a story because he's like a Hell's Angel. So I don't know if he's going to try to kill me.
He's not going to fucking come out and kill you now. He's got a radio show. I'm going to give up my career and fucking the real fucking industry to come fucking murder a guy because he called me Lou Ferrigno.
The stupidest joke ever made, though. I walked back in the green room and they were like, ah, the guy's like, Chuck Zito was like, oh, is that cousin to Tux? Which I think, Tuxedo?
That's not
nothing
bad.
Nothing on that. Dude, I thought that was, that's I was
not
like,
bad.
That's
I didn't, I had a fucking, I had a, it's a math joke. I had to put it all together.
I hear you.
Some of these jokes you can't make
people
think.
You can't just throw them out, man. Okay. You can't just throw them out.
So that's crazy. All right.
So that was that with those two things. But well, go ahead.
No. This is kind of crazy though. So you kind of got to see all that. It's so much bigger than people realize. That
it
type
is
of show.
Insane.
The production that goes into these things. I was on Last Comic Standing, and it was such a smaller show, like a way, way, way smaller show. And it felt I was gonna shit my fucking pants before I got on stage in front of fucking Roseanne. Who gives a shit? Like, yeah. I had a Wayne's brother judging me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that Indian guy.
How did you feel with that?
I was terrified, and I wanted them to like me so bad. Here's what sucks. You end up not being you. This is what I didn't like about it, and Gary's very good. You know, you end up not being you. You try to play this game, and, you know, I look back, and I go, no, I regret not being me. You know, why even go into that thing? Like, that's not the platform for me to come off as good as I can come off.
Real quick, let me throw this in. It's exactly what you're talking about. Is that the one thing I learned from this was that I had no stake in this. I wasn't getting paid. I could just be as goofy or as shitty as I wanted. Whatever they would do the user, they wouldn't. They said, no, my name wasn't getting out of there. So I went into this whole process with like, fuck this. I'm going to get stoned. I'm going to wear a bathrobe. I'm going to just be goofy. And all the producers, everyone kept coming up to me being like, you were funny. That was great.
Yeah.
We got to turn this into a show. But if I was on the other side, if I was Gary's side, I would be like, I'm sorry. Can I do this for you?
Yeah.
Can I help? I'd be all fucking pussyfooting around. And then I would do my act. Every word had to be perfect and it would not have been good. That was me being me at the most. And it went way further than if I was on last college standing.
And I'll tell you, man, that lack of pressure, that's interesting.
Exactly.
You say that because last night I went to the Anthony Cumia party. Cumia had basically a big party for the opening of the New York City studio. And he invited, obviously, Legion of Skanks, mm-hmm. Gavin McInnes, friends of the network, comics. A lot of cool people were there hanging out, a lot of great comics. Jim Norton was there. Ronnie Bennington was there. Ari was there. Fun times had by all. And, you know, first Ant goes up and he kills it, gives this speech, very impromptu. Then Gavin McInnes goes up after that and he has this prepared speech. He does it as his father with a kilt and he has a Scottish accent. He's fucking just nails it. Really yeah. funny, dude. Really funny. Gavin's a Gavin, dude, to be able to go across platforms and have that type of confidence, whether you like him or hate him, I know Zach fucking hates who? Gavin's guts.
What's his last name? Gavin who?
Gavin McInnes.
Who's this?
He's the other show on Anthony Cumia's network.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's super right wing. Okay. You know, he's an interesting guy, and a lot of his views are a little bit out there. But I agree with him on a lot of stuff as well. I think I'm a fan of his thing. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And he's a fucking. He's a couple of viral videos that are just great. I'll show you after we get off here. But he went up and just fucking owned the stage. Very, very interesting to watch somebody that doesn't perform in that type of environment go up and do it the way he did it. Did this character. Really funny. And then, of course, these fuckers out of nowhere, they're like, oh, Lewis, do you want to come up and say some stuff? And I had not prepared anything. I had no idea they were going to ask me to say anything. So I went up and I just fucking riffed and it was just off the cuff and I fucking leveled, dude. I leveled. Awesome. I mean, it was like really cool, man. Just shitting on them for doing that, shitting yeah. on Gavin's speech. It was really funny, dude. It was a really funny moment. And we're talking about being not prepared or not caring. Like,
yeah.
I just didn't give a shit. I didn't prepare at all. If I would have prepared a speech, just like at Gary's wedding, I would have fucking nervously like done it. I would have overthought about it. You got to kind of like, I don't know, it's when you get so in your head in those things, you start shaving off layers of yourself.
Yeah, man.
You know?
If you do Conan your fucking first year, first 3 years,
oh my God,
you're freaking out. You do Conan after you've done a half hour special, you just walking in like, I don't give a shit, I know the place, I know the people, I'm going to do what I want.
You don't want to fucking, you want to be on TV a few times, you want to have your Comedy Central credit.
Get shit you are already above.
I mean,
you'll be the most yourself.
Like on auditions and shit, it's the same thing. You go and it's like, you know, I'm just now, even meetings with the industry, I'm just now comfortable at a place where I could sit across from agents or a network executive and be like, oh, no, I'm the show. You guys should be excited to meet me.
Yeah, man.
And she'd be, I'm not like, oh, come on, can you please like me? And so you start like losing yourself in that thing. And what you're talking about being on that show, I think, is that comfortability.
Yeah.
Being in your zone with stand-up, being a performer, an actor, we've all done acting gigs, everything.
Yeah.
It's about being at a level where you're most comfortable, where you can just fucking project exactly what your idea is.
Yeah, man. It's just, it's so important with everything, you know? It's like, people always tell me, it's like, you come to bar shows and comics are like, I can't wait to do this bar show, and they're nervous. And then you're working a club, and then you're like, oh, I'll just do your bar show, and you're just doing new shit. It's like, oh, I don't even give a shit, because, and then that's your best shit. And then you're like, you're just crushing, because you don't give a fuck. I mean, it's like, that's everything in life, and I think that you have to take that with you, of being like, if I'm going to do Last Comic Standing, I'm going to do it on my terms.
Would you do the show if they asked you to do it? Could you do it? Are you clean at all? Because, I think on a show like that, you need to have an hour squeaky clean. If you win it, you're going to fuck up the reason somebody like Gary Veeder could go far on that show and do well is because he could do an hour squeaky clean.
Yeah.
And I think you need that. And I don't think enough people realize like how hard that is.
The thing is, I don't understand what they want, because I am clean. I don't curse, but I say words and I talk about things that you might not want to put on NBC.
You have a cunt bit.
I do have that cunt bit.
On YouTube? Can I play it?
I don't know if it's on YouTube, but you could play it.
Let me see what people think of Greg Stone. Not the fans. I'm saying if a booker were to watch Greg Stone, the first That's impression they'd get.
I probably have to turn that shit off.
Let's see.
Oh, you're going to do this? I'm so embarrassed right now.
Why is it bad? I want that. I didn't know. I didn't know. It's what you fucking have on your channel, dickface.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to my career. That's why I'm nowhere. Because I just put everything out. I put everything up. And then it's like,
oh wait, you know I can't. You guys got to put it. Put on Greg Stone Gotham Comedy Live on Access TV. Greg, you're a fucking funny comic, dude. You're a really funny comic.
I don't know. Thanks.
But I want to see how dirty you are when they first clip. That's all I want to see right now. I want to see how good it is.
And I was done.
I want to see
this.
If I'm a booker, and I want to, because it's the first thing that comes up. It's Greg Stone on Gotham Comedy Live.
You're probably right.
Is it filthy?
Well, that's the thing. Is when I did Gotham Comedy Live, I was like, oh, you get to curse, so I'm going to be as cursy as I can.
Yeah.
Which was stupid.
It is stupid.
I should have went with that and been like, do a clean tape, because this is going to be your best tape.
Everyone's got the same story for that. I have the exact same story. My
Thank
Gotham
God.
Comedy Live tape, dude. I was like, and my fucking manager.
I did the cunt bit in the Gotham Comedy Live.
You did the cunt bit?
Yeah, but it doesn't have the ending, which I think justifies the whole joke. So it's just me screaming cunt a bunch. On national
yeah,
TV.
play a little bit of Greg Stone's Gotham Comedy
you're
Live.
A bastard for making me listen to my own stand-up.
I'm
going to
hear it. It's fine.
I'm better now, Zach.
Right.
I know. You're
then. A good comic. How we doing? We in a good mood? Yeah. That's cool.
Probably at the end.
I'm in a great mood, man. I just lost 25 pounds. I'm very excited about that. That's too much. I gotta lose more, man. I have a goal. I just want to lose enough weight so that for Halloween, I can just be
Spider-Man.
Like, I just want to be Spider-Man. But if I get dressed up and walk outside the house, people will be like, hey, there's fat Spider-Man.
Fucking hate that joke.
There you go. Suck it in, Spider-Man.
That's a good joke.
Who are you trying to fight? Diabetes?
That's a funny joke.
Me. With a knife.
Cue fast forward to the cunt joke. You'll find it just
Spider-Man.
By fast forward by skimming.
Ninja Turtles.
And he'll be screaming cunt over and over again.
You guys had them?
Ninja Turtles, man. Why'd they wear masks?
Keep on skimming. I want to hear.
Bro. Life.
This is my favorite joke. No, this is not it.
No, I don't want to hear your favorite joke. I want to hear the cunt joke.
It's probably after this.
It's fine. Don't worry about the cunt joke. It's fine. We're good. That was a good joke, and that was clean.
Which one was clean.
That the one up top.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of clean stuff, but then I have a lot of stuff.
That was
like,
a fucking family-friendly, cute joke you could do on late night in a heartbeat. And it's you, and I have no problem with that joke.
Really?
What's your problem with the
joke?
Yeah,
it establishes a character.
I'll tell you, I know what your problem is already.
Tell me.
It's an old joke, and you've done it a bunch in front of comics, and comics go like, oh, he's doing that fucking Spider-Man joke again. That's it. It was a killer joke that you were doing
a lot.
Can
I open up to you? If it's some shit that's real, and I think it might sound pretentious and terrible.
Yeah.
I started writing these. What happened after that, and this is a problem, is that to me that joke is like, oh, that's just a standard joke, you know? I then started working on all this.
It's not fucking world record breaking, but it's a good. It's a. Whoa. Hey.
You're fine, Jerry. I did this thing, and I wrote this joke. The procrastination joke is a thing because it's like I do this joke where I say, you know, it's like my stepdad told me he loves. He was pro-life, but I'm like, you're not pro-life. You own 100 guns and you're pro-death penalty. You're pro killing them later. You're just procrastination, right?
Yeah.
That joke came from a thing of like, oh, this is how I feel about something. Like, I actually feel that, like, you're a fucking hypocrite for saying you're pro-life, that you're a pro-life. You want to kill people. You want the death penalty. And I'm fine with you not being pro-life. It's just that's a thing that bothers me. So then this Ninja Turtles joke or the fucking Fat Spider-Man joke, it's like, to me, it's like, what am I saying? I guess it's okay because it makes jokes to me. But it's like,
yeah, but I mean,
what are you saying?
Like, you know, first of all, what is it saying? And I'll tell you exactly. And believe me, I get what you're saying. Yes, dude. I think we're all at a level. You cross a certain threshold where you go like, dude, I'm trying to be a comic.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And I'm trying to be.
Let me pause you real quick. I can tell you what happened with that joke was something funny happened. I didn't write. I didn't make the funny. I want to be a guy who says, I want to say this. I'll make this funny. Not a guy that goes, this happened to me. That's funny. I'll tell you that. If that
I don't
makes
know.
Sense.
I mean, that didn't.
Sorry to get you crazy.
No, but that didn't happen to you. It was an observation about yourself. It's self-deprecating. I think more than anything, what that does is it opens you up and it allows you the opportunity to then go, okay, well, let me talk about other people now. I think self-deprecation, I don't think it's just like a style of comedy. Some people do a lot of self-deprecation stuff. But I think very early, if I'm doing any set, I'll do self-deprecating stuff earlier on.
Yeah.
Because then it opens up the audience to you can make fun of other people. You know, I don't know. I think like you're right, dude. We all want to be Bill Burr and Louie.
Yeah, we all want to be.
We all do. Like too, obviously, man. Dude. We're. But it's like I don't know. I think for you to like.
No, you're right. I think
to be embarrassed about a joke like that. That's a good joke. What the
I
fuck?
I like that joke. I guess what I'm trying to say though is that joke came to me when I was walking down the street, and I was like, oh, that's a funny idea. I'll make that a joke. And my problem is that I didn't sit and look at something and say, how can I make this funny? And yeah. they made it funny. So that is that difference of, like, I felt like when I started as a comic, I had to wait for jokes to come to me, as opposed to now where I can sit
down and actually,
that's what I was trying to
say. That's a very new thing as well.
You want to create funny as opposed to noticing it.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, then, but all yeah. you, literally what you're talking about, and I hate to get all fucking, we get so stand-up-y on
it's
this
so
show.
Shitty, it's so shitty.
Some people that aren't stand-ups, I'm sorry if this is a little bit boring to you, but fuck off, I think this is an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
But it's like, I think what you're talking about is where they say finding your voice, that's what it is. Because when you find your voice, you can go, oh, no, that's what I find funny. Now I'm going to articulate that in a funny way with my comedic voice.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you're like, dude, I need please fucking some sort of fucking pun or analogy. Come to me, please. I don't know what's happening right
now. Yeah.
You don't know how to control your fucking power.
Yeah.
You know?
But we still have them now. They still come to us. You still do it.
Of course. But then you could turn it into fucking a great joke or a great bit. Now you have the ability. Is it, how old is that joke?
Like 6 years.
Yeah, dude, you should fucking re-explore it. I do. There's so much, dude. I might joke about my dad getting stabbed. Such an old joke. I've been doing that for like 5 years at least, dude. But I just got a whole brand new opening for it that breathed new life into it.
Wow.
I talk about how getting stabbed to death is the most Puerto Rican way to die.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I go through a list of all the things, all the other top ways to die in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Falling out of a banana tree, seashell poisoning, jet ski collisions, octopus poisonings. Just like I list a bunch of stupid shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, dude, whatever, man. I don't know, man. I think I heard Bert Kreischer on a podcast talk about that. He's like, my act is forever evolving. Every joke that I have is like. See, I don't know if you should fucking bail on a joke.
Do you know who ruined my life? I would never say this to him, but...
your parents for having you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nate Bargatze ruined my life because I used to love telling stories. I was like, I love these stories.
Yeah.
And I would wait for those stories to happen to me. And then I'd listen to his act, and I'm like, this is a guy who... it's like, story happened. He's like, he's telling you nine layers of thought through it. It's like... And then to me, I was like, fuck, I don't tell good stories anymore. I'm like, I got fucking mad.
Well, it's, you know, those are the... The guys that
those guys
inspire
like,
you,
fuck.
Or it's the like, guys that go like, "Why am I doing this?"
Yeah,
you
know? I honestly was like, "Oh, like I don't tell a good story."
Yeah, there, you know, I see that all the time. It's hard. You get those down when you're really down. That happened with Joe List once recently. I was watching Joe List just do a new bit where he had like
he writes too much,
30 punchlines, just boom, 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 boom. And you know, I go set up, punch, maybe tag.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his base. I'm a basic bitch when it comes to like joke writing. I'm funny, dude. I kill, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just not like Joe or like Nate doesn't even consider himself a storyteller. And
well,
he does. He has all these crazy stories. Yeah, yeah, it's
funny. I believe the same thing. Storytellers are wrapped in with these guys who just tell stories and don't write punchlines. Mm-hmm. And I find that fucking bullshit. I mean, but we're all storytellers, but he's longer form with.
Not Zach. Zach says every podcast and everything he does. Very short to the point, but it's always funny.
Zach is a guy. I call him. He's a sniper.
Sniper, yeah.
I'm not a sniper like you. You can just sit there and wait, and you hit, and it explodes. I have to stop everybody and go, "Hey, listen to me. I got to tell you this fucking thing that happened."
Well, Zach's sitting there. Here's what happens. I was trying to explain this to Jay this morning. We were talking. Jay was very impressed with you as well last night. Zach murdered. Go listen to Legion of Skanks, AnthonyComedy.com. Zach was on last night. I think we're releasing the Esther Koo episode, so that one won't be out on YouTube on Monday. So if you guys want to check out Zach and Sam Morrell on the show last night, and us being very disrespectful. To that stuttering kid, please go check that out. But I mean, Zach fucking murdered it last night. I was talking to Jay this morning about it. I was like, yeah, Zach is sitting there, and he's like a joke writer, like a fast joke writer. And setups are happening around us at all times. Like if you're a comic, what's happening is like we're saying something, whether it's a play on the words or a play on the situation or whatever. The setup is happening, and there's always a punch to be, you know, to be said. Zach is always waiting for that fucking punch.
Yeah,
oh, we should do it more today.
Learning
but.
People's speech patterns. And the cadence of how they talk and finding where you can jump in.
It's your merit, too, by the way. I know a lot of guys who do that, but then they stop the conversation. You hit a nice snipe, but then you also allow the conversation to keep happening. Like, you'll go, you don't just take us off and fucking be selfish about it. Do you ever notice that on podcasts when people do that? I fucking hate dudes.
Well,
like
that's
that.
The thing. The people that hate Legion of Skanks or YKWD, that's why they hate it. They hate it because it's super ADD. We go all over the place. We yell over each other. The same people that hate Legion of Skanks for that reason will come to this and be like, oh, fuck them. They're too serious. It's like, dude, you either have people trying jokes, you know, 100 jokes a minute, or you can have people having a conversation and letting jokes happen naturally and organically. I don't know.
I'm not saying what Legion of Skanks does. You guys are just ADD and you scream each other, and it's like, but it's fine. You allow other people to scream. Some people like a nice quiet podcast, and then they just shut your story off to say a quick line and then don't let you get back on.
Right.
You know, when I was on Legion of Skanks, you guys were like, hang on, I got to hear how that ends. You know,
well,
like,
we were
but you guys are also normal people.
We're psychopaths on that show. We're gonna. I'm gonna go. We got some questions. New question. Real ass question segment. We got a beat for it, right? Okay. Thank you.
Nice. I love. It's so. It's professional. It's kind of cool.
That's Shelby. That's the professionalism that Shelby brings to the show.
Shelby.
Thanks, Shelby.
That's what I gotta do.
I know, dude. He comes in, dude. He was controlling the music levels with her. He was fucking giving her an up down. He came in, he said, dude, I just gotta be prepared for you. You don't have to worry about it. It's very good.
Real, it's the ass, and it's certainly good.
Thank you, Shelby. Professional, as always, Shelby. I was gonna ask Ronnie B about you last night. I saw him, but then I was like, you know what, dude, let me not throw salt into a wound. I don't know exactly what happened there, and I don't wanna ask too many questions. Are you okay now?
We'll talk off air.
We'll talk off air, okay. I don't talk to the staff here off air. Little known fact. I won't make eye contact with them.
He just comes in like a fucking whirlwind, screaming demands.
I really do.
And then leaves the second he's done.
I met the new... are you an intern, Jer? Intern? Jerry, very nice girl. New intern. I met her as I walked in. She hated me within a minute. It was so... Yeah, no, I saw it.
Because you come in like when Krusty the Clown had to record the lines for his doll.
You ain't gonna give it to me. How'd he do it?
That was good.
Oh, no, he just comes in, he's got all the lines on a card, and then he throws them all away, and he walks out, and they're like, all right, we're ready to record.
Yeah, look, I try. I'm not... Here's the thing. You'll notice this about me, Jerry, because you're gonna love me, because I'm... Look, I'm the future of radio. Everyone knows that. I'm a very hard pill to swallow at a first glance. I make terrible first impressions, but you will learn to love me. I promise you.
After like 4 or 5 years of putting up with his bullshit, he grows on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like cancer from HPV, though. Like, at first it just starts off as a wart, but eventually you gotta get that checked out, because who knows what's gonna happen. All right. Let's get some questions. Real ass questions segment. Shelby, you know what we're gonna do next week? I'm gonna have you... I love your voice. I know people say that your voice makes them want to kill themselves. I love it. I'm a fan of your voice. I think it's very unique.
Please also remember, he has me on a podcast, so not the best voice.
I know people say they want to kill themselves when they hear you.
You guys are a full... Zach and Shelby are full octave apart, and Zach is the highest voice in comedy. So... you're going to read these questions next week, Shelbo.
Okay.
This could be a thing. You're going to be reading the questions to me, and then we could answer them. I could just sit back, not Shelbo. Even worry. Shelbo. Oh,
Shelbo, like an elbow?
I give him...
That's great. Shelbo.
I like giving little fun names, you know? Zachy. I call him Zachy sometimes.
Tuxedo.
Fucking stoned. Jer, right?
Jer.
Jer's in. She likes me a little more than she did at the beginning of the show. That's true. She says she does not like me more. She likes me less. That's the thing. There's a real hard dip for the first 2 or 3 times you meet me. It goes a lot lower. It gets worse. All right. Real ask questions. Post a question about anything and everything. And I want you guys to participate in this every week. If you guys are, if you're not following me on Facebook, I think they can. I think they can still post because I'm at my friend limit. But I think they can still post on it. If you can't, please let me know. And I'll start posting this on other platforms as well. No longer Reddit. No longer am I going to be a slave to Reddit. Let it be known. You heard it here first. It's my website. Heard it.
Heard it. Come on.
Kevin Vosberg, the original Gomite, wants to know, what's the deal with dodging Tampa, Florida, you fuck? I'm starting a GoFundMe to get you to perform here. You don't need to start a GoFundMe. Request me at your local comedy club. Talk to your boy, Cowhead, down there who controls the market, who didn't like me. It was weird. It was going to get weird. I was going to almost not be able to perform in Tampa because he's the show you have to do in order to get people at your shows. And he fucking shit on me all over.
Oh, man. Why? What do you say?
He said I ruined YKWD. He called Opie and Anthony.
What?
To tell, for no reason, to just say, oh, you don't have Luis J. Gomez on the show, do you? And they have not had me on. Maybe it's Coward. Why am I blaming my relationship with Anthony Cumia when it could be Coward this whole time? Coward fucked me.
I thought you and Cumia were boys.
Me and Cumia are boys. Opie doesn't bring me on a show.
I don't get
asked to go on, but they bring on everybody else. Sam Morrell, Mark Norman, Joe List. All the boys, all the podcast boys. Dan Soder, not Luis J. Gomez. I get excluded. It's fine, though. I'm not bitter. It's fine. Now, you know what? No, Opie can't come on our show. Bring that beat back up. This can be a very long segment. You're going to have to loop a 13-minute beat, Shelby.
Flip a flip, flip, flip a flip.
We haven't. I'm not even done answering one question.
Yeah, I feel like this is going on.
This is how this segment goes. This is why I'm a master at radio. Because I had to unravel a thing.
I'm unraveling right now. Completely in my mind.
A girl's blouse while she's sleeping. What? Say something, Zach. I see it in your face.
I'm just amazed by you every week.
Thank you, Zach.
This is my favorite song I've ever heard in my life.
All right. So yeah, I'll be down in Tampa soon enough. Request Manager, if you want me in any market, Request Manager Comedy Club. That's the same thing for Greg Stone. Same thing for Zach Amico. Zach's coming out with me to Poughkeepsie.
Oh, that's nice. When?
October 24th. If you're in that area, watch Zach come and fucking murder it. We have a new thing. Me and Zach we've been talking off air. Zach is going to become the best comic in New York.
It's fun. That's a great.
He just needed more confidence.
Yeah, man, he's got it. He's doing fine. I never knew you was the guy that wasn't confident.
A little bit. I was shook for a while.
Oh yeah? Yeah.
But he is getting it back now.
I have no confidence now. I feel like I'm bombing. It's because I had a little bit of that.
This? Well, on the show?
I think right now and in life.
No, you're doing great on the show.
I'm probably going to die of fucking diabetes.
That's right. I keep on forgetting when you get high, you get all fucking in your head and weird.
Yeah. Totally a bad thing to do when we're here, when I'm on a podcast. I am unraveling.
Like a thing?
Yeah, no. All right, I'm back.
Solid question. Justin Klinko wants to know, and I'll go around the table for this, okay?
All right. What's his name?
This is Justin Klinko.
Justin Klinko.
Wants to know, who's your biggest influence? And it doesn't have to be a comedian. I'll start... Phil Anselmo from Pantera. I've seen them perform live probably like six times. And that motherfucker, even while he had like crazy back problems and drug problems and alcohol problems, and he knew how to fucking work a stage. I mean, dude, I'm talking about like a really like...
Yeah, man.
I still like just... I evoke a little Phil Anselmo anytime I want to fucking like bring energy to a show. Maybe that's why I don't get booked on anything. I'm just screaming the N-word in the microphone.
I gotta take that tape off. I bet you that's a thing.
What?
That's the first tape they see of me.
That is the first tape. That's a good joke, though. That's a good, clean joke.
Oh, but the cunt joke is in there. That's probably why I'm not getting booked.
Maybe.
I gotta cut the cunt joke.
Biggest influence, Greg Stone.
Hard to say. I mean, I'm probably just gonna go to comedian-wise. And I think it would be, I guess, you know, one of your classics, I guess. Maybe Louis or maybe Burr. I love those guys. But inspire me. It's hard to say, man. Brian Regan. Probably
Regan
because he's so much energy and he does jokes that you think would be funny. Makes him amazing.
I saw Brian Regan do a cunt joke.
No.
In 97.
Really? No.
The best cunt joke. You know they say Seinfeld had the best airplane shit. He can still do it. It's him. Regan. You ever hear Regan do a cunt joke? Unbelievable.
Look at the size of this girl's cunt. Gotta get a jelly cunt.
The big yellow one's her cunt.
Zachy, who's your biggest
I brought in
influence?
A cunt of dirt.
If you got a cunt going that way, and you had a cunt coming this way, maybe a phone call. Whatever that joke is. A truck of cunts.
Step one, remove cunt from pouch.
Zach. Biggest influence, Zach.
Mick Foley.
Mick Ooh, Foley, love it.
Love Mick Foley, he's good.
What a diverse table here, man. We picked different professions.
Different. Mine would really be Lapsang Khun, the first... The first high-ranking king of the Chinese documents.
Scopo wouldn't have gotten that question. He would have named, like, a fictional character.
Yeah.
Fucking Scarface, bro.
Scarface.
Dude.
Yeah, my eye. All right.
All right, Brian Murray wants to know, as a former producer slash booker, what would you guys suggest for someone who loves comedy but wants to get more involved slash paid? What do you mean, as a producer or a booker? Run. I don't know. I mean, you don't.
However, you can best take advantage of comedians. That is how you're going to make the most money.
You got to squeeze the audience and the comics as hard as possible.
Yeah.
Unless you got a lot of fucking money. Dude, you know, people give comedy clubs so much shit, you know. The Stand, they had a. I watched those guys open that place up. And they literally, their game plan, they were like, we're not doing a drink minimum. Everyone was like, you guys are fucking retarded. Do a drink minimum. You're the only club that's not doing that. That's so stupid. You can just make. It's guaranteed money. And they were. Resilient. They were like, we're not doing a drink minimum. We're not doing any type of minimum. We are going to make our product and our place and the quality of the food and the drinks and the comedians so good that people are going to want to come back, spend time, spend money here. And dude, I mean, if you can have that type, I mean, they put a lot of resources. They didn't make, they probably lost a lot of money in the beginning opening that club because they didn't fucking do the normal path. You know, and I think in the long run, they're going to be a lot better for it. But I think you have to be prepared to go the long route, just like as being a comic. You have to be prepared to go a long route and be a good comedian. There's no shortcut to making a lot of money or doing a lot of fucking, you know, or getting a lot of success. If you want to be good and respected, you have to take the long route. If you want to fucking... Thank you, Shelves.
It was a nice cool to pause out for a second.
Yeah.
And then it comes back.
But it's like, you know, right. And then there's other producers. You know, LOL, that place, who, you know, me and my chick were involved, my ex-chick were involved in booking for a while. You know, and, you know, that guy wants to pay the comedians as little as possible, get the budget as small as possible, charge the audience members as much money as possible for the drinks, rip them off, not really care about the experience they have. So there's that, and I'm sure he makes a lot more money in the beginning than the other route.
But eventually the Yelp reviews and people will learn. Eventually the long scamming of comedy clubs in Times Square will eventually keep tourists from going, oh, you don't go to a comedy
club. I'm
going to
do an expose. I'm going to go out. I told Ari, because he asked me to be on his podcast to talk about street teams, because I did that for years. When I first started comedy, and I'm going to go out with a hidden camera, and I'm going to have them lie to me, and I'm going to get a collection of lies that they tell people on the streets.
Yeah,
and it's going to be fucking hilarious, because the shit they say to people, they say shit that they say people that aren't even comedians are performing.
Yeah. Oh, dude, there's
Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane, Tina Fey, and Eddie Murphy. There's one guy, because when I used to work for Lewis, that was one I always heard from Dangerfields. Or if they're foreign, I can't tell you how many people I would stop. And they're like, we have tickets to Family Guy. And they would hold up Dangerfields tickets.
Yeah.
Tickets to Family Guy.
We have tickets to see Family Guy.
So I want
to
do an expose on this. I think it'll be hilarious. I don't really, the clubs that lie don't work me anyway. So I don't really care. Like, what could possibly happen?
Is it we make people think that all comedy clubs are a scam? That's the only thing I was worried about.
No, not all comedy clubs are a scam.
I know guys who are. People are like, oh, well, then comedy in New York isn't real. It's
You'd have to go to the website of the if you want to see comedy in New York. First of all, the street team guys aren't even giving me a discount anymore. We used to give a discount. We used to give you fucking 8 tickets for $20 to use anytime you want to go for a year. You bring a birthday party, people, for nothing. It was about you spend the money on the drinks. That was the deal. Now they charge you $20 a ticket and lie and say Louis C.K. is going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even giving you a fucking discount. So there's no reason to give these guys money on the street at all. I don't give a fuck that they're a guy trying to make money.
Anybody on the street.
Never
money.
Hand anybody on the street money. That is a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can just go to the website, okay? And you
what drives me crazy, that everyone who buys these tickets now has a phone.
Yeah.
Look up the lineup.
Yeah.
Look up the lineup and buy the tickets from the club, because I mean, look, in reality, if the club is making more money, that's going to trickle down and make the comedians make more money.
Yeah.
That's going to expand the budgets for the clubs.
Yeah.
If you're buying tickets from a street team guy, those guys are paid, the guys who run those street teams are paid a huge fucking kickback. Huge kickback, okay?
Yeah.
The clubs have to tighten the budgets up to afford to be able to pay for those guys that come from the fucking street teams.
Yeah.
If you want to support comedy in New York City, go to the website of the comedy club and buy the tickets from the club. That will do more for the comedy community. And we'll put more money in our pockets in the long run. If it's a legitimate club that does it right, you know, and you'll see Yelp, dude. I'll tell you right now, like, I hate people who write Yelp reviews, but it keeps everybody fucking honest, dude.
Yeah.
You'll see, dude. You know, like, look
up the Yelp review of the fucking comedy club.
Look it up. You'll see what people are saying about it.
And guess what? If a comedy club has a gold star or a Groupon, they probably have that for a reason if they've been around for a long
that's
time.
That's not true. Because
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's bad. You'll do a Groupon and shit. If it's slow seasons, I'm not even going to say that, because there's some good deals and shit. And there's great. I'll tell you right now. Gotham has a Groupon. I think Stand New York has done Groupons before. You know, and these are good clubs and they have great Yelp reviews. So Zach doesn't work any comedy clubs, so he has no fear. Zach will just say whatever he wants because he has no fear. All right, let me answer two more questions. I want to bring up one more topic because we get out of here. We're not really on a time limit, so fuck it.
Jerry's got to get going. And Shelbo.
Shelbo doesn't give a shit. Shelbo's here all day. Do we have any other good questions? Let's see.
Link.
Why are the, I think this is funny, why are the Guys We Fucked podcast so popular? Number one on iTunes today, Guys We Fucked. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like those girls. We're like, we are in an open.
Oh, there's the beef I was trying to get behind.
Oh, you can turn the music off. Christina, I kind of like Christina. I do. As a person, she is a sweet girl. Cut that music.
Is she?
Christina, I think she is.
I always try to be nice to her. She always turns her back.
I think she's kind of a phony. I don't know. Look, I don't know. Here's the thing, right? We're all phonies.
Yeah.
Okay? You only take people at their face value, right?
She might be nice, I'm sure.
If her face value to me is being pretty nice to me, you know, she talks shit about me. She kind of talks shit about me on a radio show. I don't care. Like, I don't really give a fuck. You're not hurting my feelings. I didn't even give a shit that chick said I was a bad father, her partner. Because it's just not true. I don't really care. I'll just show you that I'll dominate you in the comedy field. We'll come out and we'll fucking put you guys fucking on your heels. And they never said anything again. Mm-hmm. That chick, Corinne, looks at her feet when she sees me in comedy clubs. She fucking... And that's the truth. But, you know, Christina, for the most part, she's a nice girl. I see her. We laugh together. I think she's kind of a funny chick. I think she's going to ditch this chick eventually.
I got to get out of this conversation.
Why?
I have ties.
What do you mean you have ties?
Well, Corinne has always been very nice to me.
So be nice. You don't have to get out of the conversation, you pothead.
I got
to
leave. I got to go stand in a closet.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to fucking call her a cunt. I didn't even call her a cunt. I'm just saying you have to. You say your opinion. I don't care.
We kind of did now.
How do I think that? Here's the deal, right? And without saying too much, you know, look, I don't know, okay? Mm-hmm. All I know is that we fucking, when we did this podcast war, we fucking went to town on these bitches.
It was
okay?
Real. It was real.
It was real. That was like, it was a real beef.
Oh, I thought it was like wrestling.
It was all
beef.
Funny. It was kind of, it was 50% real, 50% wrestling, because okay. We were funny with it. They just weren't funny with it. They didn't try to even be funny with it, right? And Christina told me flat out, hey, we wanted to come back. She was like, I wanted to come back and do something funny. You know, Corinne didn't want to, and that was that. And I was like, all right, well, fuck it. I get it. Do what you got to do. So these girls, they got this show, and sure, it's a great show, but they have this huge fan base, apparently, this huge fan base of nearly a million listeners. Mm-hmm. Legion of Skanks, without giving you too much, I'll tell you guys, we have less than 100,000 downloads a week. Okay, so let me just tell you a mere fraction of what these girls will tell you that they have, okay? Our fans, I mean, the second it was a thing...
Yeah, you guys are maniac fans.
Our fans came at them like fucking lunatics, okay? Now, they were fucking... Look, dude, we didn't even tell them to. They just did it because they got our back and they thought it was funny, and I thought it was funny, too. It was very funny, a lot of stuff they were saying, and we never condoned any, like, violent threats or anything like that. It was also... Anything funny, we condoned. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's all it was. We don't wish anything truly bad on these girls. They were just fucking dummies, and don't come at us and expect us not be able to fight back. And as men, we don't really get to fight back. You don't. You get to take it. And we don't get to fight back. So we fought back and we fucking dominated those bitches. So it's fine. So not one fan came to their defense. This is the thing. This fan base that this rabid fan base they have, not one person came to their defense. Not one chick, not one 17-year-old girl that's like, girl power, I'm going to fucking get... I mean, like maybe like two or three different people like says that. But I mean, I'm just going based off of, social media. I'm going based off of, like, you know, Reddit. I'm going based
Legion
off
of Skank fans are all killers.
Doesn't matter, dude. It doesn't matter. You can see, like,
that will find you.
I could see if their fans, like, they just did nothing. So here's the thing. I just know that they don't have the same fan base as us.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All I'm saying is they don't have the same type of numbers that we have, even. Okay. I'm telling you. Okay. There's no way.
I don't.
Period. Okay. They say they have as many fans, they have more fans than Lady Gaga on SoundCloud. Come on. Do you think I'm dumb? The algorithm on iTunes can be manipulated. I have friends who run podcasts who are constantly in the top 25 and 50.
Huh.
That they spend their day manipulating the algorithm. They know the things to do. They know how to click. They know what to do. That they get the numbers up, the times of day. There's so many different things. And what I think is they hired a team of people, a PR company or whatever, and their team is really good at shit like that. So they are in. And I think a lot of podcasts that are in the top 25, 50 do that. Legion Skank's always in the top 100, top 150. Yeah, yeah. But this is a fact. Our fans are fucking rabid. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I know how it works. So it's like, that's my answer. I think that they probably manipulate the algorithm a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the fans are going to come and get me now, but we'll see.
I think all our fans are real hot.
Are they?
I don't know.
It's young chicks.
Chicks. I love chicks.
I don't even, like, I thought their podcast was good. They had me as a friend. They made an enemy out of me. I was promoting their podcast. That's why I brought them on Legion of Skanks. What fucking dummies. Anyway, I want to talk about this really quick, and we'll close on this, unless you're in a hurry, because I want to get your opinions on this.
I'm all right.
All right. Greg is so stoned now. You want to get more stoned, dude?
No, because at some point, I'm going to have to be all right.
All right, dude. What do you got to do today?
Tonight, I got to go to Levity. I'm there.
Oh, cool. Love Levity. Love it.
Yeah, they're really great people.
So, all right. We're going to get out of here, man. Get my outro music ready. First, Greg, what do you got coming up? Anything to plug?
Oh, just check out my podcast, The Rad Dude Cast. And can I plug one date?
Yeah,
is that cool? On the 26th, I'll be at Bananas with David Tell.
Beautiful.
Yeah, not because he asked, but just it's a great
Me
show.
And Zach will be up October 24th at Oh, wait. Is the music off now?
The Poughkeepsie Place by the Train?
Yeah, no, you were right about that, Shelbo. You were doing a good job producing, though. You're right. It isn't supposed to start till I do my plugs, but it's okay. We got it. Zachy.
Follow me on Twitter, @ZachIsNotFunny. I don't want to blow your outro.
October 9th and 10th, I'll be Comedy Connection Providence, Rhode Island. Come out to that. 24th, Zach and Miko and Chris Scopo up in Poughkeepsie. Good night. Peace.
That's all, folks.